Los Desterrados, recorded in Radio 3 studios, ending this week's World Roots. The programme was introduced by Lucy Duran. This is BBC Radio 3. It's a couple of minutes past 11, and now jazz lineup. Tonight, Kevin Legendre marks the 40th anniversary of the death of a UK jazz legend, Tubby Hayes, with a session featuring the Simon Spillett Quartet. But first, a reminder of what made Tubby Hayes into the legend in the first place, part of his Cherokee.
Cherokee by the Tubby Hayes Orchestra, sounding absolutely glorious. Bob Sinfield, that is one of the great bebop anthems, written by Ray Noble, covered by the greats Charlie Parker, Sarah Vaughan and Duke Ellington, among many others. What do you like about Tubby's version?
I love the way that two eras seem to come together there, Kevin, because you've got Ray Noble, a stalwart of the pre-war era, who composed it. And then you've got Tubby, who has that pre-war legacy. His father was in, I think, the BBC Revue Orchestra as a violinist, and he grew up in the wake of the dance band popularity. But there he is, blazing, I think, very much a new trail in 1961 with a real bullet train sound that is a trademark of his. And it's the sort of thing that really makes you sit up and take notice, as I did the very first time I heard it.
It's absolutely rip-roaring, isn't it? That was recorded in 1961, by which time he'd already made his mark on British jazz as a member of the Jazz Couriers, I believe.
He was extraordinary in that he started as a full-on musician at the age of 15. He managed to get himself expelled from Rutledge Grammar School the year before for being too much into his jazz and not enough into his studies. And so he packed years and years of first-hand proper jazz experience into his late teens. Absolutely. By the time we heard him there, he really knew what he was doing.
Bullet train is the word. Energy, it's, as I say, it's rip-roaring. Stephen, I know that you're a huge fan as well. When did you first discover the music?
This was the first Tubby Hayes record I ever obtained. I was a jazz-mad teenager, 13, 14, thereabouts, and discovered a band that Clark Tracy's dad used to play in. And Stan played in the Ted Heath band. That was my introduction to British jazz. And I became almost obsessed with not only the band, but these musicians. And any recording I could find that featured them, I would be dying to get my hands on. And discovered, thumbing through the record collection in my local library, the LP with that track on it. Looked at the names on the back, recognised them from Ted's band, got the record home, stuck it on the turntable, and this bullet train, as you described, the sound of Tubby Hayes flew out of the speakers, and I sat there staring at the speakers thinking, what on earth have I just heard?
Once heard, never forgotten.
I was hooked from then on in.
Great. Well, I think that's a fantastic introduction for us to go to some Tubby Hayes music. Gentlemen and listeners at home, you're in for a real treat now. We're going to hear from a man deeply influenced by the sounds of Tubby Hayes, but who also writes his own tunes and has a sound of his own. Let's get straight to the music and welcome today's session band, the Simon Spillett Quartet. Since making his debut in the late 90s with the Millennium Jazz Orchestra, tenor saxophonist Simon Spillett has been an important presence in British jazz, and he definitely consolidates that with his excellent current band. It's a pleasure to welcome them here today on Jazz Lineup, performing for us at the BBC Maidervale Studios. Opening with Royal Ascot, it's the Simon Spillett Quartet featuring Steve Melling on piano, Alec Dankworth on double bass, Clark Tracy on drums, and of course Simon Spillett on tenor saxophone.
Thank you.
mascot by the Simon Spillett Quartet. And all I can say is I need to take some time to get my breath back. Simon, welcome. That's an absolutely really upbeat, very, very dynamic piece of music. What's it like to play?
Dynamic, upbeat. It's what we do. It's how I look at jazz, and it's how I think all the guys in the band look at jazz. That's the way we play.
And how much does it take to actually get those energy levels? And it's a Tubby Hayes composition, it's demanding. I imagine it's a lot of work to do that.
Well, if you're playing Tubby's music, exactly as the same as if you were playing the music of Sonny Rollins or John Coltrane or Charlie Parker, you're aware that you're playing great music by a great musician, and you've got to try and do it some justice. As far as the energy is concerned, just look back at Tubby. He was the ultimate example of, you know, protean energy. He just had so much vitality and life. And, you know, as you heard in Cherokee earlier on, he kind of leaps off the disc at you. It's still there. That energy is still there within the music. And that's what I like to try and do, try and play with the same kind of energy, or try and get the same kind of energy that that generation of jazz musicians had.
So you're a lifelong fan. I mean, you've just done the sleeve notes for this splendid four-disc box set that has come out on proper Little Giant Steps. When did your fascination with Tubby's music begin?
Well, I first heard him. Actually, I first saw him, not in person, because he died the year before I was born, when the BBC repeated the iconic Jazz 625 big band television show. And that was the first time I saw him, and I was about 12, 13 years of age, and I was absolutely knocked out. Up to that point, I really hadn't heard very many British jazz musicians, and it was seeing and hearing Tubby that made me want to go back and explore that era, because not only he was a leading light, but there were so many others. Obviously, Stan Tracy, Clark's father, John Dankworth, Alex's father. There's a real rich legacy of British jazz, and it's great that people can still appreciate that.
And it's fantastic that we're celebrating British music with Tubby Hayes as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, for me, he's the ultimate kind of British jazz post-war icon. If you look at the cultural differences in Britain when he began, it was very austere, post-war, ration-ridden Britain. And yet Tubby arrives playing with all the authenticity of an American jazz musician. Completely, you know, it bowled everybody over, rightly so, and it still does.
Gives us all a lift. Great. What are you going to play next?
We're actually going to play a ballad that was written by Tubby. We've obviously, with what the quartet's just played, and obviously with you playing Cherokee earlier on, we've concentrated on the sort of more dynamic side of Tubby's music, which is obviously what a lot of critics latch onto, the sort of fast technique and the bebop side. But he was actually a very, very lyrical player and a very lyrical composer. And this is a ballad that he wrote in the early 1960s entitled Surya. Thank you.
Tubby Hayes' sumptuous ballad Surya, played by the Simon Spillett Quartet. There will be more session music from them a bit later on. Let me turn to my guests, Bob and Stephen. And we've all been sitting here in the studio, rapt by that. Bob, what did you make of it?
Well, first of all, beautifully played by four very much 21st century musicians. But what an understanding they have of the piece itself and what sympathy they have for the piece. It's the first time I've ever heard it played by anyone other than Tubby's own band. And I think it displays Tubby's versatility, that he was able to turn his hand to compositions like that, it seems, with equal ease as rip-roarers like Royal Ascot, which we heard earlier. And yet, although it's a very, very serene ballad, you've still got that little moment of mystery at the end. He did that quite a bit. It reminds me of how his big band version of A Night in Tunisia ends, with a real sort of edge of, well, not quite menace, but something rather unsettling.
The harmonies are quite shadowy, aren't they, Stephen? Mm. As Bob says, there's a kind of a little bit of a veil being drawn over that.
Which is what I think I love about Tubby Hayes' music, that he was a man who embraced all the various trends in jazz throughout his lifetime, but kept returning to the music that he loved. You know, no holds barred, straight ahead, largely tonal bebop-driven jazz. He embraced free music and all kinds of composition. He was perhaps slightly unjustly treated as being old hat when he delivered music of that quality, of the kind of playing that Simon's just demonstrated. It's far from being old hat. He played for himself, and far be it from any critic or jazz bystander to say that that's not worthy music, because that, as a composition, stands up as well as anything I've heard from the Tubby Hayes songbook.
Well, it's beauty and it stands the test of time. Stephen, while we've got you here, you present the Jazz House on BBC Radio Scotland, which is on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. So you're definitely the man to talk to with regard to what's happening on the Scottish jazz scene. Can you give me a preview of some of the festivals that are coming up?
Indeed, Scotland has become awash with festivals almost right throughout the year. We've gone from having the two major festivals, Glasgow and Edinburgh, and Aberdeen encroaching in for a short time. It fell by the wayside. I'm delighted to say now that at the grassroots level, jazz in Scotland has galvanised. There's a real renaissance going on. The Aberdeen Jazz Festival is enjoying a great resurgence. And lots of little mini festivals popping up in any tourist destination worth its salt has a jazz festival now. But Glasgow and Edinburgh are very much at the vanguard, at the forefront of the festival circuit. And Glasgow kicks off first. It begins on the 26th of June. I'm delighted that Clark, who we've been hearing on drums, is...
Clark Tracy.
Clark Tracy is coming up with his father.
Stan.
And Stan Tracy is bringing with him the marvellous Bobby Wellens.
And I believe we're going to record that show for Jazz Live.
I'm thrilled to bits. I didn't think I'd get a chance to hear Stan Tracy and Bobby Wellens play in person. I kind of hardly contain my excitement.
It's a meeting of two giants, isn't it?
It's fabulous. And it's great that I get to talk about this all at this table when we've been hearing Tubby Hayes' music, because I think of Bobby Wellens and Tubby Hayes and Stan Tracy and John Dankworth, all these people we've been talking about, all in the same breath, and being very much at the absolute heart of the very best of, I don't want to use the term a golden era of British jazz, but the Stan Tracy in his 80s, Bobby Wellens is 77 now, and still playing with as much verve and panache as he's ever done.
Well, I'd love to talk a bit more about Bobby, but time presses on. Tell us about Edinburgh.
Edinburgh's great. Edinburgh's a very different kind of festival. Glasgow has always been a slightly edgier festival. Edinburgh is always a very polished affair, as befits, say, the opening festival and the festival season in Edinburgh. And again, Stan Tracy is at the heart of that, celebrating this time the music of Duke Ellington. No one, I think, perhaps with the exception of Joe Temperley, could stand in front of a big band and pull off the music of Duke Ellington. And he's doing that with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra Chorus and recreating one of Ellington's sacred concerts. That's absolutely a highlight for me. The Edward Jazz Festival runs from the 19th to the 28th of July.
That's great. And I believe you've got some music for us just to get us in the mood.
I have. And it's the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra. They've just gone into the studio to record the Culloden Suite with Bobby Wellens. So that'll be a delight to hear that man play with this great orchestra. But I have in my hand In the Spirit of the Duke, which is a recording of music mainly by Duke Ellington, some arrangements by Billy Strayhorn, which the SNGO performed in various venues across Scotland earlier this year. It swings like the clappers, and there's no improvisation in the track I've chosen. Ellington, in his infinite wisdom, decided that it would be great fun to take the music of Edvard Grieg, particularly the Peer Gynt Suite, and orchestrate it in his inimitable manner. Thankfully, Tommy's dug out these scores. They are an absolute joy. And this doesn't showcase any of the soloists in the band. It just showcases the ensemble panache. And again, some people might have put this down to being old hat or our vintage nostalgia. This orchestra is anything but nostalgic. It's vibrant, it's alive, it's a band full of soloists.
Great, let's hear the music. Morning Mood by the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra.
Thank you.
The Scottish National Jazz Orchestra doing Ellington, doing Grieg, probably not in the manner that Grieg imagined it, but it's sounding great anyway. Morning Mood, chosen by Stephen Duffy. For those who don't know, Stephen presents the Jazz House on BBC Radio Scotland on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Stephen, what do you have coming up in the month of June?
A great show, specially curated by one of the leading vibes players, if not the leading vibes player of today, Joe Locke, a fascinating character, and we brought him in. He picked all the tunes for the whole show, an incredibly eclectic mix, largely of contemporary jazz, some surprises in there, a thoroughly engaging, very funny, very warm, musical super being, Joe Locke. And then that's on the 26th of June. And on the 3rd of July, our resident jazz educator, Richard Michael, a man who founded the Fife Youth Jazz Orchestra some 30-odd years ago, former Parliamentary Jazz Educationalist of the Year, he's presenting his History of Jazz, and that's being broadcast on the 3rd of July.
So a great introduction to the music. You mentioned Joe Locke, an eclectic man if ever there was one. As luck would have it, I've got a copy of his new album, Lay Down My Heart, Blues and Ballads, Volume 1. And from this album, a fine version of one of my favourite songs, Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine.
Thank you.
Bill Withers' Ain't No Sunshine, played by Joe Locke from his album Lay Down My Heart, Blues and Ballads, Volume 1. And remember, you can hear that two-hour radio show specially curated by Joe Locke on BBC Radio Scotland on June the 26th at 8 p.m. with Stephen Duffy. Stephen is still here. He'll be back a bit later, and so will my other guest, Bob Sinfield. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Kevin Legendre, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio, coming to you from our studios at BBC Maida Vale. And a little later, there is more session music from our very special guest band, the Simon Spillett Quartet. Right, it looks as if summer might finally be here, which means that jazz fans have loads of great festivals to look forward to. The season is well and truly underway, and here are just a few highlights that you might want to bear in mind. The Cleethorpes Jazz Festival runs from the 28th until the 30th of June. And then from Friday the 12th till Sunday the 14th of July, there is the Swanage Jazz Festival. After that, you might want to consider going to the Newport Jazz Weekend. That runs from Friday the 19th till the 21st of July. After that, there is the Ealing Jazz Festival, running from the 24th till the 28th of July. And finally, a very good one, this is always a great festival, the Manchester Jazz Festival runs from July the 26th until August the 4th. Next up, brand new music from a man who has played jazz festivals around the world and always sent people home more than satisfied, saxophone star David Murray. His current album, Be My Monster Love, marks his first collaboration with a man who was a major hit at last year's London Jazz Festival and also this year at Cheltenham, the singer Gregory Porter. This is Army of the Faithful.
Charging saxophones can reach the unborn. We don't have regalia, a thunder voice, Mahalia. We don't have the eloquence of John or Paul. We do our mission among the ones who listen. We make joyful noise unto the Lord.
Army of the Faithful from the David Murray Infinity Quartet featuring vocalist Gregory Porter. It's from the album Be My Monster Love. On Saturday, July the 6th, there is a special celebration of the late Kenny Ball at the Burton Agnes Jazz and Blues Festival, which takes place from the 5th till the 7th of July. The great champion of the trad scene of the 60s was due to play but sadly passed away in March of this year. So keeping the flame alive will be his son Keith Ball, who will appear with Kenny's jazzmen. They'll play some of the songs that smashed the pop charts in the 60s. If you don't know them, here's a track that reached number 2, Midnight in Moscow. It may be Russian themed, but it's a great way to continue our celebration of British music.
Thank you.
The chart-topping Midnight in Moscow from the late Kenny Ball. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Kevin Legendre, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio, coming to you from our studios at BBC Maida Vale. And very shortly, there'll be more session music from our special guest band, the Simon Spillett Quartet. I'm still joined by guests Stephen Duffy and Bob Sinfield, who've been helping me to put the spotlight on Tubby Hayes as part of our celebration of British music. Bob, you've selected a Tubby Hayes track direct from your vinyl collection, complete with dusty finger marks, no doubt.
All of them mine, yes.
Tell me about the choice and why.
The album is Mexican Green, which I'm delighted to say came out again on vinyl in the early 80s, which is when I managed to get hold of this copy. But it dates from early 1967, and it's a great contrast to the opening track tonight, Cherokee.
Cherokee, yeah.
There we heard Tubby in a big band setting storming away on tenor sax. And I thought, by contrast, and fitting the mood of this time of night, shall we have something mellow that shows him up as an exceptional flautist? Because that tends to be forgotten. I mean, he also played vibraphone to a very high
standard.
That's
a good point.
Indeed.
He was a multi-instrumentalist, wasn't he?
He was, and I would argue that his flute playing matched the brilliance of his saxophone playing. And here's a track that illustrates that very well from Mexican Green. It's called Trenton Place and was inspired by a stay that he took in San Francisco. And there was one night when he went into the city to jam with the John Handy Quintet and came back late at night. And I'm going to quote from his own sleeve note from the original album. He says, "Returning home in the small hours of the morning, I was knocked out by the sight of a family of deer trotting down the street and disappearing into the fields." And I'd like you to hold that thought as you listen to it. And as you do, note the slightly unorthodox introduction, because here we've got the melody played by the trio, Mike Pine, Ron Matheson and Tony Levin, and we don't hear from Tubby until the start of his solo, but from the very first note of that, he flies.
Great, let's go to it. Trenton Place by Tubby Hayes from the album Mexican Green. Thank you. Straight from the vinyl collection of Bob Sinfield, Tubby Hayes' Trenton Place from the classic album Mexican Green, which featured Mike Pine on piano, Tony Levin on drums and Ron Matheson on bass. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Kevin Legendre, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio. And all this month we're celebrating British music and the vibrant jazz scene that we're lucky enough to have here in the UK. Keeping the scene very much alive here for their second set for us at the BBC Maida Vale Studios is the Simon Spillett Quartet. They start with a Jimmy Duker composition, Bass House. Thank you. Bass House, written by Jimmy Duker, played by the Simon Spillett Quartet. And Simon is here. Beautiful, bluesy, walking bass lines, which just puts a smile on everybody's face. It must be a lot of fun to play that.
Yeah. I mean, as I said earlier on, straight-ahead jazz, there's still a lot of mileage in it. And even though that tune was written, I think, in 1955, you know, there's still something you can do with it.
Is it the kind of joyousness of the music? There's, as if, for me, listening to it, there's always a brightness that comes through when I hear that walking bass line and those lovely bluesy chords.
Yeah, I think there's a... Although things have moved on significantly in jazz from when that tune was written, I think the core values of jazz, the sort of the nature of swing, is always going to be there. And it's always fun to play. I mean, for me, it's where it's at.
So it was a feature for Alec Dankworth, your double bass player.
Yeah.
And also the rhythm section. Tell me more about the players.
Well, you could probably say British jazz royalty, I think. They all need no introduction. Steve Melling, of course, is an absolutely fabulous piano player, one of Britain's finest jazz pianists, regularly heard with Peter King and Alan Skidmore's bands, but also with his own trio and his own septet. Alec and Clark, everybody knows about two great representatives of two of the great jazz dynasties in this country.
Great. Bob, we were sitting here just nodding away, smiling away. What's it like for you to listen to that music?
Very much as you said, Kevin, the joyousness just shines through down the decades. And it's lovely to hear that it holds up. There's probably a lot of people listening tonight who are hearing that for the first time, and I'd be fascinated to know whether it engages them in the same way. I suspect it will, and this is something that gives you a lot of hope, really, in terms of the way British jazz is regarded. As Stephen was saying earlier on, before Tubby's generation, Alec and Clark's dads, John Dankworth, Stan Tracy and Ronnie Scott, British jazz musicians were not taken that seriously on the world stage, with one or two honourable exceptions. But these guys came in and suddenly the fabric changed.
They staked
the
their claim,
changed,
didn't they, in no uncertain terms.
And
Stephen.
You can see why with music like that.
Yeah.
It is. It's the kind of jazz that I think makes most jazz fans love jazz in the first place. There's something about that sound. As soon as it starts, as soon as the ride cymbal starts, as soon as that walking bass starts, people would sit back, the head starts to go, people get into the groove. It's accessible, it's tonal. Never in a million years going to go out of fashion.
Simon, your latest album, Square One, is a 180-gram audio file pressing on Gearbox Records.
That's right, yeah. We're on vinyl.
Weighty stuff.
Yeah, I think it's quite appropriate, actually, that it's on vinyl, because, as you said, the music's got those core values. The title, Square One, is a play on words, obviously. It's a 12-inch LP, it's a square one. And it also...
As opposed to a round one.
Yeah, also it fits... It fits in, I think, quite neatly with some of the critical observations that have been levelled at me over the past couple of years, that I'm stuck in one particular part of the jazz tradition. I'm happy being stuck there. There's still a lot of mileage in it.
Stuck in the right groove.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. I like that, yeah.
OK, so you're going to play some more music now. What are you going to play for us?
Well, we're going to play another song that's got strong associations with Tubby Hayes. This is a piece included on the 1961 album Tubbs. And he'd actually borrowed this from Sonny Rollins. Sonny had recorded it for Blue Note on the album Nuke's Time, which is one of my favourite records, and I know it's a favourite records of Clark's. Tubby had borrowed it from Sonny, and Sonny had borrowed it from Johnny Mathis. So it's not standard jazz material.
So there's a lot of borrowing going on there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Johnny Mathis, one of the great jazz icons.
On that note, it's time for the Simon Spillett Quartet playing his last piece today. This is Wonderful, Wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful, Wonderful by the Simon Spillett Quartet, featuring Steve Melling on piano, Alec Dankworth on double bass, Clark Tracy on drums, and of course Simon Spillett on tenor saxophone. And a huge thanks to the quartet for coming in to be our session band today. It's absolutely wonderful music. And if you'd like to see Simon live, then there are lots of opportunities. On Friday, June the 28th, he's part of a supergroup, really, playing Standard Miles, which I assume is the music of Miles Davis. It's Simon Spillett, Henry Lowther, John Critchinson, Dave Green and Trevor Tompkins. They appear at Marigold's Jazz Club, Essex. Simon is also appearing at this year's Birmingham International Jazz and Blues Festival on July the 9th. The festival, incidentally, runs from the 5th till the 14th of July. And on Friday, July the 19th, you can hear the wonderful Simon Spillett Quartet at the Marlborough Jazz Festival. Some sad news now. The jazz community suffered a great loss a few weeks ago when the great pianist Mulgrew Miller passed away. He was only 57 years old, but his legacy is enormous. Anybody who saw Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers in the 80s and people like Woody Shaw and Kenny Garrett will remember a fantastic pianist who was very, very technically gifted, but also played with an enormous amount of soul. And I know that Robert Glasper is a pianist who's name-checked him regularly and called him a great influence. So a very great loss, to say the least, but I think it's only fitting that we remember Mulgrew Miller by way of a glorious piece of music that he recorded himself. He was also a band leader in his own right, and recorded many albums. And this is a track which really captures the kind of joy and the warmth of his playing. It features Terry Lynn Carrington on drums and Charnet Moffett on double bass. Of course, Mulgrew Miller on piano. This is Without a Song. Without a Song by the late Mulgrew Miller. Fantastic trio featuring Terry Lynn Carrington on drums, Charnett Moffett on bass, and of course Mulgrew Miller on piano. His spirit definitely lives on. That's nearly it from Jazz Lineup this week, but don't forget there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jazz on 3 presented by Jez Nelson on Monday nights. This week, Jez has a fantastic double bill recorded at the BBC Maida Vale Studios featuring the all-star improv group Black Top and also the rising star of the trumpet Laura Jerd. And on next week's Jazz Lineup, a special performance by the BBC Big Band conducted by Julian Arguiles, recorded at Glasgow City Halls as part of the Alive with Music Festival. To finish today's show, brand new music on ECM. This is Susan Abel, the Swiss jazz singer with a very original approach to songs. This is a track called This and My Heart. It's from the album The Gift. From me, Kevin Legendre, till next time, bye-bye. In the clover's will.
Hello and welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. Isn't it odd to think the great violinist and general guru Yehudi Menuhin died in 1999? He seems almost permanently with us. And this opening couple of hours are devoted to him. Mono recordings from the 1950s and 60s from various radio archives of Menuhin playing a Mozart violin concerto and music by Bartok. It was Menuhin's concern for Bartok's plight as an ailing refugee in the States in the 1940s that prompted him to commission the Bartok solo violin sonata. First, though, Menuhin in Brahms. 1964 was the year, and Budapest the location, for this performance of the Brahms Third Violin Sonata.